My name is Dr. Samuel Eli Tischerman, and I live at 126 Conover Road, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It's in the Point Breeze section, and I'll be glad to cooperate and help you out in your history. I'm on.
Can you be able to hear me with the...
Could you speak up?
This is the oral history program for the National Council of Jewish Women in Pittsburgh. Oral history 2. May 1998. Dr. Sam Tischerman is the respondent. Jean Hickman is the stall on the internet.
Yes, my father came over here early in the century from Bătășan, Romania.
Can you spell that?
Oh, guess.
No.
Someplace I haven't, if I can find it.
It's probably Bătășan. Changed its name as
No, it's now. Still Bătășan.
In what country now?
In Romania. It's
still in Romania.
Right.
Now, what was your father's name?
Well, goodness knows, but when he came over and came to Ellis Island, of course, he said his name was Sruel of Rum. And they said, okay, you're Samuel Aaron, which is really Israel Abraham. People often ask me why I'm Samuel Eli and he was Samuel Aaron. And I said, in Hebrew, it's completely different. Of course, as you well know, it's not appropriate to name your children after someone who's still alive. Dad came over from Romania with his siblings. There were 8 altogether. 7 came to Pittsburgh, and 1 stayed in Israel. That is, went to Israel from Romania. Dad's brothers were Louis, Harry, and Joe. The sisters were Cecil. Right. She married a Grauer, so her name was Cecil Grauer. Fanny, she married a Herman, so her name was Fanny Herman. Sirleigh, which I believe was Sarah Lee. And there was a 4th sister.
Was the name Tischerman before you came to America?
Goodness knows. Nobody knows. We've tried to research that. My cousin Harris, or Herschel, who lives in Mount Lebanon, has a considerable amount of information in that regard.
And your mother's family?
My mother's name was Goldstone, and she had 1 sister, Sylvia. Sylvia married Louis Schlesinger.
You didn't tell us her first name, your mother's first name.
Oh, my mother's first name was Evelyn, and her father came from England. Had I known we were going to start at that point, I had a considerable amount of information that I'll get out next time. We've documented about 600 people in her family. My Aunt Sylvia Schlesinger was very much interested in family history, and we have a lot of information on the Goldstones. They came from Stockton-on-Tees, which is in northern England, right near the Scottish border.
Stockton-on-Tees.
2 rivers up there, Tees and the Tyne.
Tees.
T-E-E-S.
T-E-E-S.
Was that At what time in history, what years, approximately?
When Grandpa came over? I presume this was around the turn of the century. And his wife was Rose. She was a Solomon. And the Solomons were a large family. She had a brother, which always amused me. His name was Shlemy the Shot. They called him because he was dark complexion. He lived up on the hill near Mercy Hospital. That was a very classy district at one time, overlooking the Allegheny, the Monongahela River. Excuse me.
What type of occupation did your family have when you were in Europe, when they were?
They were in the bakery business. I believe my grandfather, Meyer Jacob, was in the bakery business. And he had a brother, Zoa, and that name recurs through the family line. Now,
when they came to Pittsburgh, then, did they just resume the bakery business?
That's right. From what I gather, my dad started. No, it was probably, I guess, around 1920s. Dad was around 14, I understand, when he had his first bakery.
And where was that located?
That was at 5th and Logan, the base of the hill. And at that time, they were all very active in the Knesset Yisrael, the Hermans and the Tishrins, I think. All the founders were either Hermans or Tishrins. The Knesset Yisrael was known as the Romanish Shul because everybody was, for the most part, Romanian.
Where was that located?
I believe it was up on Clark Street. That's where I was by myself.
Was the family Orthodox religious?
Yes.
And what about your religious background and training?
Well, I was bar mitzvahed at the Knesset Yisrael with the bubbies in the balcony and the zeddies on the floor. And afterwards, everyone had slivovitz, which is a Romanian drink that almost kill you.
Kept you alive.
He broke the chali and drank the slivovitz, and then we all went to the Webster Hall for my bar mitzvah party.
At that time, Webster Hall had a kosher kitchen.
That was some time ago. They had a court. The middle portion was open. It was beautiful. It was a women's hotel at the time. And the whole top of the hotel was lit by red lights. And my parents told me I used to call it Webster Hall Fire. My dad opened a bakery at 5th and Logan with his brother, Harry Tishman. Harry had two children, Pauline Ruth and Zoa, both of whom are in California at this point. I have the whole family history I can give you. Worked hard. We get down at 2 in the morning or so to make the sponges, which were the foundations for the doughs, and the sours, which were the foundation for the rye bread. And then the bakers would come in later, 2, 3 in the morning, and make the bread, and Dad worked side by side with them. Brought a lot of people over from Romania, at which time he would have to guarantee them a job, give them $500. Dad was a very generous person.
These are people not from your family.
That's correct.
Excuse me, but I don't have your father's name.
Samuel.
Yes, I do. Samuel.
Aaron.
I do. Sorry.
Was there involvement other than religious with your family as far as community is concerned?
Dad worked day and night. I know he gave a lot to the shul, and periodically they would come rushing in from the Beis HaMedrash HaGadol, which was the first Orthodox synagogue. Fishermen, Darfa, Minyan. And I know I felt so grown up after I had my bar mitzvah. I was able to go and take off our white aprons, which were covered with flour and jelly and everything imaginable, and dash over to the old Beis HaMedrash HaGadol and participate in our
I'm lost a little bit. You were originally, we have Knesset, that's your grandparents who belong to Knesset?
And Dad.
Israel?
Right.
And then
that's
when did the Beth HaMedrash HaGadol come in?
Well, they were two blocks away from the bakery. And whenever they would need a minion, they would come up to the bakery. Dad and I would
come. How old were you when you started helping in the bakery?
Oh, my gosh, I guess I must have been about 5 or 6 years old. They would perch me up on top of a roll of brown wrapping paper, and I would make boxes, close the one end, or I'd put icing on the cupcakes.
And eat them?
Oh, you bet. Sometimes. We were known to have the best bagels in the city. In fact, people still stop me and tell me no one makes bagels like my father did. Dad was a very generous person, I remember. A week wouldn't go by that somebody wouldn't come in from one of the yeshivas in New York or someplace. Tishermen, put their hands
Well, that was the tradition.
That's right.
Where did you go to school as far as regular?
Well, as far as my religious education, later on I went to the Rosh Hashanah. I was confirmed at 16 at the Rosh Hashanah, and that was quite a jump from Knesset Yisrael, where I would lead to Philip, to the best Shulamah. Rabbi Freehoff's Sunday book reviews were better attended than the services.
Was your family in accord with your going to Rosh Hashanah, or was this much later?
No, they weren't involved much at all with Rosh Hashanah.
No, but
on the major hall.
Didn't object to your direction.
No, not at all. Not at all. But I was somewhat of a, I just didn't fit in there. To start with, I was from Oakland.
What do you mean? You didn't fit in where?
With a group.
At Rodef.
At Rodef. They were mostly German Jews. And as you well know, the German Jews looked down on the Romanians, Polaks, and Litvaks. It was most interesting, someone who could delve into the aspects of how clannish they were as to the particular ethnic group.
Can you compare that with today's ethnic problems in Europe?
I could see this happening here in Pittsburgh. So very easy to extrapolate what's going on there. Doesn't surprise me 1% that on a Saturday or a Sunday when I went to classes at Rotterdam, everybody decided they'd meet at Kaufman's for lunch or something. But not I went to work at the bakery, and I went to Shenley High School, and they all went to Alderdice. I can look back on it and laugh.
Before you went to Chandler, where did you go to grade school?
Frick. And then subsequently after...
Let's get where you lived so that we can get this in context.
I lived in Oakland. Dad surprised Mom by buying a home, first house on Chesterfield Road on the right. And Mother was always afraid of hills. Chesterfield Road goes up at like a 45-degree angle. Montefiore Hospital was behind it. But we were considered the top because We lived north of Forbes. We were peasants.
Far north.
South of Forbes. And we also had a telephone. We were wealthy. And I knew I was approaching maturity when the phone would ring for somebody else in the neighborhood, and that was frequent. And I was allowed to cross Chesterfield Road to tell them there was someone on our line calling them. One of the big thrills of my life.
When you went to school, then you had to go a distance from your home to prep.
Actually, it wasn't that far. It was about 6 blocks.
Yeah.
And mother would walk me every day to school. I was just reminiscing last night with Jacques Freivogel. His grandfather, I was shown, had a funeral home at the base of Chesterfield Road. Are you familiar with Freivogel Funeral Home? They started
out. I am now, but not then.
And I went head first down the steps of the house. I was very young. Split open my lip and was bleeding. Mother screamed, and Mr. Freivogel ran up and carried me to the emergency room, Montefiore Hospital. Everything was nearby, the grocery store, the doctors, the Amschels, Fred and Jesse Amschels. Have you ever interviewed Albert? They live.
Sure, it's Fred.
Ever in my flesh.
Now, when you went to Shenley High School, what did you always go back to work at the...
Oh, every day I went down to the bakery, even when I was in medical school. I'd get down, and when I was in practice, I picked up Mother every day at the bakery and took her home and then came.
She worked there, too.
Oh, my, yes. She worked side by side with Dad. She sold baked goods, and Dad worked for the bakers.
Did you have any opportunities for recreation or activities other than the work and the school?
Well, at the Shenley, I was feature editor for the Shenley Triangle. I was always involved somehow in writing.
That was the newspaper.
That's right.
In those days, did the schools have picnics like Kennywood?
Oh, my, yes. Pittsfield Railways had open cars going to Kennywood. That was the biggest event of the year. I'd get up early in the morning and sit in the window and watch the streetcars go by with the kids hanging on. And we would go out there subsequently.
No, that wasn't the Squirrel Hill picnic. They had an Oakland picnic or
the school? That was a Shenley High School picnic.
When did you go to Pitt University as an undergraduate as well as medical?
Yes, I went as an undergraduate. Well, two-third years I went to night school, and Saturday school, and summer school.
Did you start in night school?
Oh, no.
No.
But to get through in a hurry.
Were you able to do anything other than the writing? Did you do any other kinds of things during your graduate work?
I started Kappa Nu fraternity. Joe Fingeret was very involved in that many years ago, and had been off campus for about, I guess, 30 years or so. And we decided to revive it, a group of 10 of us. We had a high school fraternity. So we revived Kappa Nu, and I'm so pleased that for the 10 years, first 10 years we were in existence at Pitt, we ranked top scholastically on campus.
What were the influences that made you go into medical school?
That's interesting. And, in high school, I had a marvelous biology teacher. The name would come to me. And I recall the first day in class, he turned to one shy little girl and he said, "You have a mother and father." And the little girl blushed and she said, "Sure." I said, "Can you prove it that they're your mother and father?" She says, "Well, I have a birth certificate. I remember it so vividly." And he said, "Well, were it not for the birth certificate, would you be able to prove that they were your mother and father?" Of course, this was an introduction to a topic of genetics. And interestingly enough, this is where I'm involved now in my research for the past 36 years, genetics.
It's really interesting that a teacher inspired that kind of thing by his questions.
Right. Oh, they had a marvelous faculty at Shipley. And Mr. Viverka. Say, "Tisha, man, you are bluffing." I said, "Right, I'm bluffing." Miss Malik was the English teacher. Miss Burns was an English teacher. In fact, Natalie worked with Miss Burns. I remember them all so well. Miss Rogers in Latin. She used to say, Miss Rogers in German. "Herr Tischer," she said, "I know we have to say something each morning, a greeting, and I have to say, Morgen wird es besser sein. A verb is jetzt für alles fritz geworden, which means tomorrow things will be better, though up to now everything's good."
I don't think they even teach
Latin. That was German.
Yeah.
They don't teach Latin.
You said you had,
yes, I had medical Greek and Latin, which I found to be rather valuable.
Then, at what point in your medical career did you decide on genetics?
Well, actually, it was not in genetics, internal medicine. I was Dr. Jack Myers' first intern. Dr. Jack Myers is a very renowned internist. He became president of the American College of Physicians and was chairman of the American Board of Internal Medicine. In fact, he died recently, and they're having a memorial service May 24th for him. But I was his first intern. And he was known as quite a strict teacher and brilliant. The first group of our interns and residents, two of the interns quit, three were fired, and one resident dropped dead within a month.
They never gave him enough money to eat.
We got $25 a month in food. Lots of Brussels sprouts. They must have cornered the market because of Presby. They were always serving Brussels sprouts. To this day, I still am not that pleased eating Brussels sprouts. But I was an intern for a week, and then Dr. Myers came up and said, "Sam?" "Mm-hmm." He said, "You're doing a good job." "Mm-hmm." He said, "In fact, we're short of residents." He said, "So tomorrow you'll be one of our residents." He took one of the senior students and made him my intern. It was like baptized. First year intern, now you're a resident. So I had a year of internship. I mean, a month of internship. Spent my time as a resident.
Well, when you finished and you started practice, did you open an office?
Yes, I opened an office in Mount Lebanon, Cedar and Cochrane. It was the Mount Lebanon Diagnostic Clinic.
What year
was that? 1961. Before that, I served in the Navy for 2 years. I initially went to Philly. I was caught in the last doctor's draft. My friends were enjoying life in Seoul, Korea, living like kings. I was a beautiful South Philly, where my life was in greater danger than my friends who were in Korea.
When were you in Philly?
For the first couple weeks when I was drafted.
Mm-hmm.
They tried to make a doctor out of me.
Can we have some years? Did we establish your birth year?
No, I don't believe we did. April 27th, 1929. graduated medical school in 55 and entered practice in 61.
No,
61.
61, you
established the Mount Lebanon Diagnostic Clinic.
Yeah, you finished medical school in 55.
I was very active in, during my years as a physician.
Do you have any particular things to tell us about in those days, about awards or honors?
Oh, we could talk a long time on that. I enjoyed practicing medicine. And the clinic, we started with nothing and built it up. Worked various places. I worked as a consultant to the in internal medicine, to the student health service of the University of Pittsburgh. Also, I took care of the nurses and had the honor and pleasure of leading the girls down the aisle at graduation at Presbyterian Church. Dr. Wilde and I, they would elect two doctors every year. I always joked that the first few times it was fun kissing the nurses at graduation, but by the time it got to the last time, it was more fun kissing their mothers who I had taken care of when they were nurses. I was active in a lot of organizations.
When they started the Mount Lebanon Hospital and St. Clair Hospital, were you involved in that or against it?
It was already functioning. I don't know how much of this you want to include, but some of the things that are burned into my memories. One was that I came out to Mount Lebanon and I was all gung-ho and excited about going into practice. And I already got an appointment in the faculty at the medical school. Was on the staff of the Presbyterian Hospital. I went to a meeting with a membership committee from St. Clair. I think they had one, maybe at the most, two Jewish doctors at the time. And the first thing that happened was that the chairman looked at the letters of recommendation, one from Jack Myers, whom I referred to before, most outstanding internists in the country, and one from Bill Cooper, and they threw it back and said, here, we don't care what anybody says, we're your judges. I knew I was in trouble. And they asked me what I could do, and I told them I could do bone marrows, and I could do various other procedures, which I was trained to do as an internist. They only had one or two other internists, both of whom supported me, Mike Coyle and Dr. Sicker. And when I told them what I could do, they turned to me and they said, sounds like you can do everything, doctor. How are you supposed to answer that, particularly it was said with such sarcasm. You don't live here, didn't you? I said, no, I plan to move here. I knew most of their doctors really didn't live there either. A lot of them were from Fox Chapel. I was turned down because, one, I didn't live in the area. Of course, my office was only two blocks away, and two, I belonged to another hospital staff, and they wanted me to give my full time to St. Clair. And I knew very well that probably 90% of the doctors there belonged to three or four different staffs. Most of all of them belonged to Mercy. But how I got on the staff is interesting, too. Clara Jean Babb from the insurance company on the north side was one of my students. And she became an anesthesiologist and subsequently became medical director of the hospital. She ran into me one day. She said, Sam, why aren't you a member of the staff of the hospital? And I told her the story. And she said, that's ridiculous. She says, you meet me tomorrow at the hospital. There's a meeting of the membership committee. I had mixed feelings about this. Oh, one other thing. About a month or so, maybe less than a month after I went to this initial meeting with the membership, one of the members of the membership committee who had interviewed me called me on the phone and he said, Sam, maybe we could help each other out. I said, what do you mean? At that time, I was interviewing medical students for entrance to medical school. And he said, I understand you're on the faculty at the school and that you interview students. Yes. And he said, I have a son, and I immediately knew what was coming next. He said, if you could help get him into medical school, he said, I think I can arrange to see that you get on staff at the St. Clair. Well, luckily, he wasn't sitting there because I would have hit him with a telephone. I said, I'm sorry. Everyone's accepted here on the basis of his grades. He said, well, his grades aren't that great. I said, well, I'm sorry, but I don't really believe I can help out. But an interesting sidelight. Incidentally, when I went into medical school, I don't know how much of this you should really...
You'd rather have more than not enough.
When I entered medical school, I was called up for interview and became acquainted with a very quaint technique play we used in those days. Well, Sam, we're sorry to tell you, but you missed...